the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9. It's in the Pew Bible on page 845. Chapter 9, verses 38 through 41. I gave Allison just through 40, but it's through 41. It's a pastoral typo there. Let us hear God's word, brothers and sisters. John said to him, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a mighty work in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. For the one who is not against us is for us. For truly I say to you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ will by no means lose his reward. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Amen." Please be seated. Tonight we have a brief text which may lead to a brief sermon. We will see. We will see. The title tonight is Team Jesus. Team Jesus. Jonathan Bonomo, a PCA pastor back east, he and I were not there at the same time, but we're both part of Michiana Covenant Church, a PCA church in north central Indiana, a small hamlet called South Bend. Knows something about team spirit. But Jonathan is from Philadelphia, and he had this great post this week about catechism and sports. He said, "Our children are born, and we throw a jersey on them. We teach them all the team chants, all the team songs. We train them. This is who we root for, hoping that someday they adopt the same team and not another." Team Jesus. We know something about sports loyalties here at New Life, don't we? Go Padres. Team Jesus. We know what it is to draw those lines around whose team you are on. And tonight, as we look at this brief text, I believe it encourages us to serve simply for Jesus alone. To serve simply for Jesus alone. As we come into this text, we find the disciples still confused. Mark seems to really be placing a premium on emphasizing how the disciples are not getting it. This is one of three chapters in a row where Christ's message of suffering and dying is missed. In the previous chapter, in Mark 8, 31 through 33, "And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. And he said this plainly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, 'Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man.'" I don't know if Peter was from New Jersey, but I can almost hear him pulling Jesus aside. "Hey, Jesus, I rebuke you. No, not on my watch. It's never going to happen to you, Lord." In the next chapter, we'll read about James and John coming to Jesus and wanting to be one on his right hand and the other on his left when he is in his glory. They just seem to be perpetually confused about what Jesus is getting at. And this message of being on Team Jesus and serving simply for Jesus alone begins first by seeing these exclusive exorcisms. Exclusive exorcisms. John said to him, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, And we tried to stop him because he was not following us. But Jesus said, do not stop him. For no one who does a mighty work in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. You see, this one was doing ministry right. He was doing it in Jesus' name. And it's ironic that John says we tried to stop him. It's kind of a double whammy against the disciples, because you'll remember not too long ago, they were trying to cast out demons. And they couldn't do it. So here you have the leadership team of the Son of God who can neither cast out demons nor stop those who are casting out demons. But they tried to stop him. There's an interesting mediation that we try to serve sometimes. When someone claims to be on Jesus' team, but we're not sure if they're on our team or not. 1 Timothy 2, we would all profess there is one God and there is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. There's only one mediator between God and others, that is Jesus Christ. And yet here John is trying to serve as a proxy for the rest of the apostles as a mediator between Jesus and this one who's doing ministry in Jesus' name. See, Jesus, he was doing ministry in your name, but he wasn't doing ministry in our name, in your name. You see what a work of the Spirit it is when we start in the letters of the apostles to come across those great levelers where the apostles are constantly drawing people in. Our faith, our Lord, our message. Because at this point, they are still awfully focused on the exclusivity that it was to be part of the 12 apostles. And don't we like to belong to the club? Don't we like to be the group that has everything just so? And if people aren't doing it exactly the way we are, we should probably try to stop them. As Connor spoke about this morning, the temptation is real to codify personal preference into regulative principle for all. Friends, we must always guard against our sense of exclusivity, that we alone please the Master, that we alone garner God's favor by how we do what we do. We must always guard against crossing that line from this is right, so this is what we do, to this is what we do, so that means it's right. Maybe at this point you're glad this might be a short sermon. Secondly, we find no neutrality. No neutrality. We hear a lot about binary in our day and age as regards sexual matters. But there is a binary as it comes to matters of faith. Jesus says in verse 40, "For the one who is not against us is for us." And what we don't necessarily always like is that it's Jesus who draws the lines, that it's up to him. But this moves beyond people to all facets of our lives. Everything is either in service to Christ or in rebellion against him. 2 Corinthians 10:5, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. And Jesus is conveying to the disciples who want to themselves draw the lines that he draws the lines. And this one who is doing ministry in Jesus' name but is not directly tied to this immediate company of the apostles or the broader company of the disciples is not against Christ, and in fact, he is for Christ. He says in the verse before, it's going to be really hard for this guy to speak against Christ after having this wonderful ministry in his name. So Jesus is reminding us that there is no neutrality. As we serve, we are either serving Jesus or we are serving something else as the ultimate. We cannot have two masters. And so as we consider that overall point for tonight, to serve simply for Jesus alone, we've called us to serve in ways that are not necessarily particular to our ways, but we want to see people serving God. We want to see them serving Jesus alone. And verse 41 brings in this element of simplicity. Thirdly, we find a watery witness. For truly I say to you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ will by no means lose his reward. Now, so often when we think of rewards, we think of having done something great. We think of something that is, in a sense, above and beyond. Where we lived in Maryland, it was the home area of some Olympic swimmers. And some of our acquaintances and friends as high schoolers had competed against, say, a Michael Phelps in the local swim clubs. You can imagine if they had on display their little ribbons that they would get in the summer swim league and think, well, that's great, but that's nothing compared to Michael's gold medals strewn all the way across him that he won at the Olympics. That's how we think of rewards, as something great. But as Gregory of Nyssa says in commenting on this verse, God never asks his servants to do what is impossible. And the spirit there is God never requires of us the impossible. What he asks us to do is actually quite simple. And it's those simple tasks that the Father loves to reward as we have done them. Kids, young people, college students, what simple things are you able to do to serve Christ? To serve Jesus in the church. It's easy to look and say, well, I don't think I could play organ like Mr. Dave. If you ask Mr. Dave, Mr. Dave can't even play organ like Mr. Dave, okay? Or play piano like Miss Erica or Miss Katie, or lead the choir like Miss Janet, or definitely can't preach like Pastor Joel or Pastor Connor. But what ways can you serve? For here, as Christ points us to eternal reward, reward that will not be lost, he's pointing us not to grandiose acts of public service. He's calling us to simple service in the name of Jesus. What is it to give a cup of water? Here it doesn't even require that it be cold water. Just a cup of water. Giving someone something to quench their thirst because they are a fellow believer. Kids, how can you humbly, simply serve in the church for the good of those who are older than you? So often we think of, and Pastor Joel likes to challenge the adults, that we're to be pouring into you kids and investing in you kids, but how can you kids be helping to serve those who are older than you in the church? Others who are outside of that category of kid or young person or college student, and there might be a few of you here tonight. What simple ways are you missing serving Christ? Because they're just too simple. They're too easy. Too readily overlooked. Almost not even able to be noticed. Those are the nooks and crannies of the kingdom that Christ calls all of us to serve. And in serving, we will not lose our reward. The disciples had a difficult time wrapping their minds around what it meant for someone to be doing these works in the name of Christ, but disconnected immediately from the company of the apostles. They struggled in that. But brothers and sisters, we can take comfort that Christ didn't allow them to draw the lines. He drew the lines. He accepted that ministry in his name, knowing the good intent and knowing the blessing, knowing the reward that would be given to that one who gives something as little as a cup of water to drink, because they know that the one they're serving loves Jesus too. What kind of watery witness can you have as you seek to simply serve, to serve simply for Jesus alone? Let's renew our zeal to serve our Master in even the most mundane of ways. Let's renew our zeal to serve our Master in the most mundane of ways with other brothers and sisters in the kingdom who don't look exactly like us or talk exactly like us or worship exactly like us or view everything exactly like us. Let's work together for Team Jesus, serving simply for Jesus alone. Stand with me as we pray. Father, we praise you that You have given us avenues of service by giving us gifts, by giving us skills, by giving us desires, by giving us longings within your church to see people ministered to see needs met, to see ministry accomplished. Thank you for providing such avenues of service. Yes, some of them are more well-known than others, but even the most mundane, we praise you that there is significance and there is dignity and there is joy and there is reward to be found in that simple service to Jesus. Father, we praise you for the good work you are doing in us that opens our hearts to those who love and serve you. Father, we see in the disciples that tendency to exclusivity that is opened up into that apostolic love and joy and welcome. May you open our hearts to our fellow brothers and sisters in the kingdom, perhaps that are in this congregation with us, who are not exactly like us, who view things differently, who have different passions about the church and about the community. Lord, may we work together. May we serve together on Jesus' team. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Let's say